Welcome to the USA Hockey Magazine podcast, the voice of hockey in America, with your host, Harry Thompson, editor of USA Hockey Magazine.
Hello and welcome to another USA Hockey Magazine podcast. Today we're continuing our series leading up to the 2019 Chipotle USA Hockey National Championships. Today we're joined by Mike Mulhall, who is the National Championships Chairman. Been doing it for a long time. Mike, thanks for taking the time to talk to us today.
Thanks. No problem, Harry. I appreciate the call.
Great. Well, Mike, like I said, you are the chairman of the National Championships efforts. How long have you been doing the job?
I believe I started this back in 2015. I had been helping the previous chairperson, which was Norm Spiegel, and had been doing a lot of things behind the scenes for him, helping him out with schedules and just the basic administration stuff. And he decided to step away in 2015, and I guess I got selected to do it, and it's been a lot of fun.
Great. Can you talk a little bit about, I mean, what does the position entail? What kind of things do you have to do on a daily, a weekly, a monthly basis in terms of getting ready for a Nationals?
Well, it's a full year type process. So we get the host sites will actually send applications in. They'll be bidding for, to host the events. That usually happens about 2 years out. So we go through that process of, interviewing the sites, looking at the application information. Youth Council gets involved with the site selections. And so that part is done. That happens every year. Once we identify the sites, probably starts around October, we start having monthly conference calls, and that's with specifically with the host initially. And then as we get closer to the Nationals, they ramp up to where we bring in the directors that are going to be working the sites and things like that. So it's pretty much maybe 6 months as we prepare for it on our end. But honestly, the hosts are working on it for the whole year prior to.
Wow, that sounds like quite a process. When you go out and look for host sites, are there certain things you're looking for?
We look ideally, obviously number of sheets of ice. It just depends on what people are applying for. So the tournaments have grown over the years. We bring in a lot more teams. Most of the Tier 1 programs now, all of those tournaments are a minimum of 16 teams. And at our Tier 2 events, we pretty much are around 40 teams at those events. Girls and women's is kind of the same. High school is now 32 teams. So it takes having, the number of ice sheets is very important. And then from that point, it's just kind of reviewing, what their volunteer base is, how they're going to operate the tournaments. And, we try to cycle it around and move it around the country. And, it's hard because there's a lot of good applicants. That's one of the things that's hard to, we start getting in 20, 30 applications for six or seven sites in a given year. It does, it's challenging to try to identify the sites. And obviously there's always going to be somebody disappointed. But, we encourage them to apply, the following for the next year. And, we try to move it around every year.
Absolutely. Well, you mentioned tournament directors, and obviously having been to Nationals many times in the past. I mean, some of these people are just fantastic, and they do so much to make sure that these tournaments run smoothly. Can you talk a little bit about the types of people you're looking for to be tournament directors and what they bring to the table?
Well, it's a lot of experience. So most of the directors that go out to lead the sites they're USA Hockey volunteers. They've been there for a long time. They sit on the Youth Council. They're directors at USA Hockey. So they have a lot of experience. Most of them are involved in their local areas in terms of running their district playdowns and any of the state playoffs. So they come to these events with a lot of experience, and they're just hardworking. I mean, they're volunteers. They're not paid staff, but they take time away from families. They take, vacation time, but they just do it for the love of the game.
Absolutely. Well, speaking of experience, you know, you're in your full-time job of running a rink down in Indian Trail, North Carolina. You've hosted some of the best nationals we've ever had. How does your experience in hosting events, how do you try to pass any of that kind of knowledge or expertise onto the sites who maybe are doing it for the first time?
I think the primary thing we emphasize, and we try to tell everybody the same thing, is like, we don't want this to just be another tournament. Teams go to tournaments all the time. They're constantly on the road on the weekends. They do tournaments, you know, multiple tournaments a year. And I think one of the things we try to emphasize is make it different. Try to come up with something that's going to make this be something where, you know, 10 years from now, they're going to remember, hey, I was at that nationals, you know, and for instance, in Indian Trail, North Carolina or somewhere. And, you know, when I have kids come back through this rink, which happens that they participated in a national tournament here, it's really cool because they'll say, oh, it was great. We did this. We did that. And I think that's what you want. You want them to remember that experience. And that's what we try to emphasize with the host, is to create something special if you can.
Absolutely. Well, that was going to be my next question. So you really nailed it. Because like you said, I mean, a lot of these kids, they're tournament veterans. They go to a lot of tournaments over the course of a year. So you want to give them, you want to make this one the one they remember the most.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, Mike, how have nationals, in your opinion, changed over the years? I know we've added things like we've gotten rid of Pee Wee Nationals. We've added a 15-only tournament. How have you seen nationals evolve and continue to get better over the course of your experience being a volunteer with USA Hockey?
I think, well, you know, level of play is always something that everybody's really kind of focuses on. I know several years back when we did expand the tier twos, that became kind of like the base of what we were trying to do. Is there's a lot of teams and a lot of players across the country that want to participate in a national tournament. Obviously, not everybody can. It would be too big, but we've expanded it. And I think that's probably the biggest impact I've seen is just getting more teams there, and from small markets to medium markets to large markets, and for them all to have a chance at a national national championship. It's been, I think that's been the biggest improvement to what we've done. We're always looking for ways to make it better. We've expanded the tier ones to 16 teams from 12, and I think that's been a big step. And it certainly makes the tournament better, makes it, you know, just a bigger event. Even if it's a single 16-team event, it's still a good event. So I think that's what I've seen in the past few years is I think the expansion has really helped grow the interest in, you know, participation.
And how do you find the teams to I know it's a whole process, but without going into too many details, can you talk just a little bit about how a team earns the right to come to a nationals, whether it's a tier one or a tier two or a girls tournament?
Well, it's different at different levels, so that's a little bit tricky. But I'll give you a quick overview. So tier ones, you have we tell everybody the way you get to the national tournament is to win your district or your state playoffs. That is by far the best chance you've got. Now, when you get beyond that, yes, there are four at-large spots available on the tier one levels. However, it's a lot of information that goes into that. It's not just, I can't give you like a black and white, like, oh, we just take this information and that's how we determine it, because there's a lot of research that's done. There's a lot of monitoring of, you know, where teams are, where they are competitively in different markets. And, you know, there's a committee that does it. It's a lot of work involved with it. I can say that much. And I will say that, I'm proud of the fact that I think we've done a pretty good job. In fact, 2 years ago, I believe it was, that we actually, one of our at-large selections won nationals. So, you know, that's I think that was a pretty good, analysis of, you know, when we sat down and said that these are the teams that should go, we felt pretty comfortable, and sure enough, one of them won it. So that was pretty good. But in general, you know, it's a, is a process. At the Tier 2 level, it's a little different. Basically, the way Tier 2 works, it's a registration. How do I explain it? It's based on team registrations by state. So when we look at each area and we determine how many teams are going to come in, typically a Tier 2 event is going to have 40 teams, and it'll be broken down into three categories, a 3A, a 2A, and a 1A. The 3A will be made up of the larger market registration numbers at any age level. 2A is kind of the medium markets, and the 1A are the smaller markets. And that's how we kind of break it up into the three tournaments, although it's like a 14U Tier 2 tournament. It's going to be in one location, but they could have 40 teams at that location. In some cases, we will need to backfill a spot just to round out a tournament. And that process, we try to rotate that one around the country. So if we have a team that comes out of, just say, Maine this year, then next year we would look for, if we needed an extra team, we would look at a different part of the country for an extra team.
Great. So, well, very, very well said for a very loaded question, because obviously there's a lot that goes into it. Well, just a couple more things I wanted to ask you is, like, speaking of a lot that goes into it, and you kind of mentioned this when you're talking about your finding the at-large teams at Tier 1. Nationals, I mean, it really truly is a team effort where you've got your national office staff led by Kevin McLaughlin and Kenny Roush and Kristen Wright. You've got people such as yourself, longtime volunteers, and then you've got the host sites. Can you just talk a little bit about that team effort and how that's so important to making this tournament such a success?
First off, it takes a huge effort, especially at the host sites. I mean, it's funny when they first start, they get all excited about it and, hey, we're going to put this together. And, you know, the first few months is more logistics and just kind of background planning. There's no sense of urgency. As things get closer to the event, things start ramping up, and now it's a full press. And it's amazing to see these things come together because, you know, you're talking to maybe two or three people on conference calls every week or every month, and then all of a sudden, as you get closer to the event, you know, their staffs that they've created, volunteers, they come out of the woodwork, and next thing you know, they've got just, you know, a ton of people that are helping out at these sites. So that's a huge effort on the host side, and they do a tremendous job. On the volunteer side, as far as the directors and, you know, our level, I guess I'll call it where I fit, it's not nearly as pressurized for us. I mean, we're going to oversee the tournament, but we're only going in for the tournament. We have a little bit of prep work, but pretty much it's, we're on site for the week, and it works, you know, it's pretty well. But I think the big kudos has to go to the national office, because they're handling a lot of the background detail. I mean, Jody Penn, who does the, she's the catalyst or the glue that keeps this thing going, and she kind of centralizes and communicates with all the hosts and arranges all the conference calls and that stuff, and Kenny does schedules and Kristen gets involved. So it's a big effort, but and you have all the marketing folks, everybody else at the national office that, you know, dives in. So it's a pretty big process.
Absolutely. Well, and finally, Mike, I just like I said several times, you know, you've been doing this a long time, and you know, it's a labor of love for you, but where would you like to, or where do you see Nationals going, or what's the next big thing, so to speak, that you think would really put Nationals, keep it moving forward?
Oh, that's a big question. Youth Council is constantly talking about ways to make it better, which I think is a good thing. After every year when things, you know, wrap up, we usually have a post meeting specifically just to recap, you know, what happened in Nationals, the good, the bad, and kind of what we could do to improve. There's always ideas thrown out about, you know, changing to single birth years or, you know, just all kinds of different things. And I think that's where it's healthy, right? I mean, having those discussions is a healthy thing. I think it helps to look at that stuff as we go forward. And, I'm sure there's going to be changes. I'm sure there'll be improvements. just like expansion to 40 teams at Tier 2 or 16 teams to Tier 1s, I see that as, you know, just a continued path that we're going down just to keep it going and to keep it growing.
Absolutely. Well, anybody who's experienced Nationals as a player, a parent, a coach, a referee, just a fan, it's a great event, and it's something USA Hockey should be very proud in what they do. So anyway, Mike, thanks so much for taking the time, and I know you gotta operate your regular business, and then also, you know, continuing as we move toward the drop of the puck for Nationals. So thanks for taking the time and talking with us today.
You're welcome, Harry. I appreciate it, and thanks for all you do.
All right. Well, thanks, everybody, for listening to another USA Hockey Magazine podcast, and we'll be back again real soon.
You've been listening to another USA Hockey Magazine podcast, produced by Norman Hayward and Jeff Carpenter. Be sure to follow us on usahockeymagazine.com, as well as Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Thanks for listening.